Have you ever looked at the way that rushes grow? Their leaves and their stalks, they overlap one with another, and from a distance, you cannot tell which leaf belongs to which stalk. Or maybe you have looked at clematis growing interwoven with roses. Our passage today is a tricky passage to understand. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about husbands and wives, and he is talking about Christ and the church, and the two subjects are interwoven as he writes. I am calling it a tricky passage, one that is difficult to understand, but the Apostle Paul, who is writing the passage, calls it a profound mystery. Yes, it is a tricky passage to understand, but we have got to get beyond the intellectual trickiness and be awed by the spiritual mystery. It is indeed a wonder. Now, there is something else that also makes this a tricky passage, the very fact that it is about husbands and wives. Hands up if you think that marriage is easy. I don't see many hands up this morning. It is not easy, and this passage is not easy either. So much so that when Gabby and I were asked to read this passage at a wedding, we deliberately chose that I would read the verses that refer to husbands and that Gabby would read the verses that address wives. Why was that important? Well, because this passage has so often been misunderstood. Men have used it to accuse women, and women have used it to accuse men. And equally as important, unbelievers and scoffers have used it to laugh at the very notion of godly Christian marriage. And the word submit in verse 22 is a particularly tricky word. Lots of people don't like it. They don't like the words, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. But hang on a minute. Is that the first time the word submit is used in this chapter? Oh no. Please look at the preceding verse, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And you can see those words on the screen. Now that's interesting because in this verse, Paul is addressing the church, the whole church. And we know that because in chapter 1 and verse 1, he tells us to whom he is writing, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? If they were really God's holy people, and if they were really the faithful in Christ Jesus, then why did they need to be told to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? Why? Well, probably because they did not always submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yes, they were holy. Christ had made them holy. Yes, they were faithful. But they did not find submitting to each other any easier than we do. Don't imagine that they always got it right and that we always get it wrong. No. Sometimes they got it right, and sometimes they got it wrong, just as we do. And they, like us, needed to be reminded to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here we have a command backed up with a reason. The command, submit to one another. The reason? To demonstrate reverence for Christ. Now, what does it say about us when we submit to each other? And equally, what do we communicate to the world when we do not submit to each other? Have we realized that we can show reverence for Christ and worship God by submitting to each other? And if we are all going to submit to each other, hard as that may seem, then maybe, just maybe, Paul's teaching on husbands and wives is not so extreme after all. Let's now read the passage. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.
This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself.
And the wife must respect her husband. Amen.
Thank you, Gabby. Welcome back to part two of our message this morning. Now, in order to understand these verses about husbands and wives and about Christ and the church, we need to remind ourselves that the Bible is full of references to the bride and the bridegroom, referring to God's holy people as the bride of Christ. From Hosea in the Old Testament to the Gospels, in the letters, and in Revelation 2. And as a specific example, when writing to the church in Corinth, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I promised you to one husband, to Christ. And getting back to our passage today, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us in verse 31, a man will be united to his wife, And then in verse 32, he tells us, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. This is a whisper of eternity. Right now, the church is the body of Christ. And in eternity, we, the church, will become the bride of Christ. And Paul calls it a mystery. And I called it a tricky passage earlier on. What is it to you? Is it a tricky subject or is it a mystery? When I say a mystery, I mean, does it fill you with awe and wonder? Does it make you worship our amazing God who deliberately designed it in this way? How do you look at it? Have you ever seen those his and her mug sets? You know what I'm talking about? Two mugs in a box. And on one of the mugs it says Mr. Right. And on the other mug it says Mrs. Always Right. Maybe you have looked at them. Maybe you have laughed at them. Maybe you have bought a set. But God is not calling us to think of this as mugs. It is not about the man who thinks he is right, and it's not about the woman who thinks that she is right. In fact, it is not about the Mr. and the Mrs., but about the mystery. Paul says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Paul is quoting here words which first appeared in Genesis chapter 2 after the first wedding in history in the Garden of Eden after God had created mankind, male and female. And Jesus quotes these words himself in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel. And in Matthew's account, Jesus adds the words, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Did you know that marriage is God's idea? Did you know that marriage is under attack? Did you know that healthy marriages provide healthy homes in which children can be nurtured? And they also contribute to healthy churches too. And maybe that is why Jesus adds the words, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Marriage is a massive priority for our God, and it must be for our churches too. Godly marriage here on earth gives us a glimpse of eternity. It provides a whisper of eternity if wives submit to their own husbands as they do to the Lord, and if husbands love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Who do you think gets the greatest challenge in these verses? Husbands or wives? You know what I reckon? It's a big ask for husbands and for wives too. And both are called to a life of sacrifice, just as Christ lived a life of sacrifice for us. All of us in the church are being told, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we don't like the word submit in our wicked world today, because it has the connotation of abuse, torture, suffering, and exploitation. But there is no exploitation in our God. As we submit ourselves to Him, He blesses us. He sets us free. He gives us life. He fulfills our deepest longings. In fact, the Apostle James uses the same word in his letter when he says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. He says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. There is blessing when we are humble and submit ourselves to God. So all of us are being called to submit to God and to each other. And wives are being told, in effect, submit to God and to each other, and especially to your husbands, and there will be blessing when you do. Nothing blesses a marriage more when both partners are being humble. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, the church, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And that's a big ask for wives. But wait until you see what husbands are asked to do in verses 25 to 30. Husbands must love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Does that sound like sacrifice to you? Jesus sacrificed his own life so that the church could be made holy. And in this same way, husbands are being challenged to love their wives as their own bodies. Yes, wives are called to submit to their husbands, but there is no hint of abuse or torture, suffering or exploitation in the relationship framework that God has ordained. Instead, husbands are reminded that if they truly love their wife, then they are also loving themselves too, because in marriage the two have become one flesh. Now, as Paul says, all of this is a mystery, and it will only come to pass by the grace and the power of God. But I guess that still leaves a question that you want answered. Has God ordained different roles for husbands and wives within marriage? Well, I think he has, but not in the stereotypical way that we may imagine. Years ago, there was a family, a husband, a wife, and a selection of children. And whenever they went on holiday by car, the wife would ask the husband the night before, what time are we leaving in the morning? The husband would select a random number between 9 and 12 and declare it to his wife. But they always left later than planned. Eventually, the husband learned to be more accurate. He learned to answer the question more scientifically. We will leave when we are ready. You know, one of the tragedies of having to preach like this, I can't see you guys, but hopefully some of you are smiling and maybe you can identify with that kind of conversation yourselves. I don't think necessarily that the husband must decide what time we are leaving in the morning. And I don't think that the husband necessarily should mow the lawn with his petrol lawnmower and the wife should deadhead the roses. Every couple will find the best way to share responsibilities such as finances and paperwork, shopping and cleaning, supervising the kids' homework, or driving them around to their various activities. And yet, my friends, there is still something in this passage that we need to say. Please look at verse 23. It does say this: the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. How does this work out in practice? Well, as Paul says, this whole subject, it is a profound mystery. And if we knew all the answers, it wouldn't be much of a mystery. And yet, perhaps I can give you just a glimpse. Let me finish with another story, this time about a husband and a wife. Are you ready? Okay. One day, God had a chat with a man in a garden, before the wife was even on the scene. God spoke to the man and said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Sometime later, God decided that it was not good for the man to be alone, and he said, "I will make a suitable helper for him." And that is exactly what he did. God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. And that was the first wedding ever. Now, to whom had God talked about the tree? To the man. So, did he have a responsibility? Of course he did. He was responsible to tell his wife what God had told him. And he did. We know that because when Satan, the snake, appeared to the woman was able to quote what God had said to her husband. And after she had quoted this, the snake said to her, "You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, the tragedy in this story is that her husband was with her whilst all this was going on. And when the woman saw that the fruit looked nice, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, and he ate it too. What a tragedy. And we have to ask the question, what went wrong? What were they thinking? Why did the wife not submit to the word of God that had been delivered to her via her husband? And why did the husband not intervene. He was standing there whilst his wife was talking to an absolute snake. Why did he not love her enough to tell the snake to clear off? Why did he not love her enough to say, "Stop, darling, stop. Don't you remember what God told me and I told you?" Why did he not love her enough to remind her of the word of God? Now, my friends, before you start emailing me, I am not saying that husbands have special access to the word of God that wives do not have. You know me, and you know that I'm not saying that. And on the contrary, we encourage people married and single and widowed and divorced, old and young, to read the word of God and let him speak to you personally. And I also understand that this teaching only applies where the husband is actively a follower of Jesus. But the word of God does say the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And these are Paul's words, not mine. And if that refers to leadership in the home, I doubt that it refers to choosing the new wallpaper. But it may refer to the responsibility of husbands to declare, like Joshua, on behalf of the family, "We will serve the Lord." Amen.